Down to brass tacks.
Hello, good morning, Miss Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Ellis.
Morning.
Good morning, sir. I'm going to try to be quite short, right? But all I want to say is that I want to let you know that I agree with you 100% as it relates to the situation with COVID. And I honestly believe that the government needs to shut the island down for a period of time until we can get a handle of what's currently happening. Understand? Because in my opinion, I'm of the opinion that it's getting out of hand. Understand? And just to show you, yesterday, I was out yesterday, right? I was driving to a community in St. George, right? I'm not going to call it in, right? I was driving to a community in St. George, and a car happened to pass by a shop. And you would not believe that by that shop, I saw at least about 30 or so persons, right? And they were out in front of the shop, and everybody was drinking and stuff. You understand? And I have said myself.
Why do you think that is so?
Because people got this false sense that everything is that things are not as really as bad as it is.
And how did they get that false sense then?
Because as you are saying, because of the government, I believe the government is saying that they have for a long time. Government saying they have things under control, and everything that comes to you, they are saying that yes, things are such a way, but yet still, we are not still that bad. Things are still not that bad. So that would be, again, a false sense of security. You understand? Because
let's accept what you're saying. So if you were the government, how would you balance those two issues? Because they don't want to panic people. They don't want it, and in addition, they don't want it to appear as though they are not in control of the situation. On the other side of the coin, there are people who are behaving in a way that suggests they don't think it is as serious as all that. As somebody said to me that someone came to do a hand bump to them, and when they say, but they're not getting close to anybody, the person said, but ain't that bad in Barbados? Obviously, so there are people who, look, I hear people talk about the British variant. The government hasn't confirmed that we have it. But if you follow the government's logic, which is always behave as though anybody got COVID.
Correct.
Do you think it's by the same token, you should assume that if the British variant here and behave accordingly?
It's true.
I would take that as logical. Exactly. However, what's missing here is we don't know the seriousness of the variant. We don't know, for instance, whether how it reacts to the face mask that we've been using, the cloth mask.
Yeah.
Whether we might have to change the type of mask that we wear and that sort of thing. So that's why, to me, knowing whether the variant is here or not is one thing. But then once you know it's around, then you're going to do a lot more work yourself in trying to get as much information as possible. And you don't just sit down and wait for the authorities to tell you what to do. Many people go and do their own research and say, listen, on the basis of this and on the basis of that, these are the steps that I'm going to take to better protect myself. All right?
I think it comes back to making tough decisions. Not calling you, but the problem is that, as you say, you have just how you create the balance. But I think it comes back to making the decisions and making tough decisions. You know, some people, you make a decision and some people don't like it. And some people don't want to be, that's the case. The problem with some people, they don't want to make a decision where they are not looked at, you know what I'm saying? That kind of way. So I believe in terms of what I think about the shop issue. You can remember before there was this system in place where they say people can come purchase like alcohol from the shops, you remember? But they weren't allowed to stay at the shops and drink. You understand? Drink alcohol. So I think things like that needs to be put back in place. You understand? Because they told you yesterday when they passed, see who was selling people by the shop drinking and stuff. So if you had measures like those whereby that, you, even if you say, well, like, you can't purchase the alcohol, but you have to take it there, then that will alleviate the issue where you have a whole set of people congregating. Understand? And therefore, if, you know, if the police or whatever pass and see something like that happening, then someone could be held accountable, right? And we have the authority then to, you understand? So I think things like that is when they put them being put in place. I'll just tell you that we don't want to make certain decisions because the government don't want to become unlikable, you understand? So there may be things that be like needs to happen. I think things like that needs to happen again, right?
I think that if you look at the newspaper today, you will have a good idea of why the government isn't reluctant to take certain decisions. The front page of the newspaper talks about the economy having been pounded. We received a hammering from COVID-19 in 2020. Output falling by between 15% and 20%. But and that based on the current trajectory, we are likely to see take another blow in 2021. Mm-hmm. That's one side of the picture.
Yeah.
But look at the number of cases of COVID that we have had for January alone, and this is only the 25th of the month.
I remember.
However you swing, we can take a blow, a big blow.
I'm not going to remember, I always say that something like this, it could decimate a country. Think about if we have a get death on par with some of the other countries that happened to us. You can imagine what virus would be like. We've only got only a clock popping, 200,000 people, if I'm correct, or close, right? And if we have a get death on that level, again, then you make all the money, or all the money you're trying to acquire, and then you don't have anybody, then you don't have people around, but then we still don't fall, right? So you still don't have people to run the country. Because at the end of the day, you lose so much people that it can decimate the workforce from at all levels, and maybe from the top down as well. So then you generate so much money that we're trying to generate, and then at the end of the day, we'll be still around the country. So then we're still in the way. So that's how you see it. So you got to, right. I agree. We need to shut down for a period of time, at least totally shut down, and give us the opportunity to then do, as you said, the contact tracing properly, that kind of stuff. Because I believe it's going to be very difficult to do contact tracing, understand, and operating as we are operating. That's what I said the other day. When we had the 2 days for the 2 bank holidays, right? And then people were still allowed to go out. Everyone, what I'm saying, I would not have called that bank holidays on that day. I'm going to have seen the bank holidays. I would have seen it as like contact tracing days, understand? And I would have, so it would encourage as much people to remain at home as possible, so that when you come around and do the contact tracing, it would be a much easier venture. Right? But if you say 2 days for bank holidays, obviously people are going to be out and about and go as all about as normal. So then obviously it's going to create a problem where then you still have to then conduct contact tracing. It's not going to be effective as you would have liked. So that's how you see it. So that's my part.
Well, thank you very much for your observations. It's important to hear from people in the community. Look, and it isn't that you want to hear just one side of this story, because you have divergent perspectives on the magnitude of the problem and the steps that we should take. So we want to hear them all, okay? Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Yes, morning.
Hi. Good morning. I'm trying to give my contribution this morning. I had an experience last week. My husband came to Barbados. He's a Barbados citizen, but he lives overseas. And he was here on vacation for a short period. Now, to go back out of Barbados, we need to do the PCR testing, which is fair. He went and he did his PCR test on the Monday of last week. And he was supposed to get back that result between Monday and Thursday when he was set for his travel. He never got back the results. So on Thursday morning, just before his flight, he went down to Bestos Santos lab and queried for his results. He was told by the personnel down there that they're not finding his results. So therefore, he has to repeat the test. Okay, they decided that he has to do a rapid test. However, Antigua does not facilitate rapid tests. So then he had to go do now the PCR test again. Meanwhile, the time is coming down on his flight. So he asked the person if someone from the lab could call the airport and inform them of the situation. He was blatantly told, no, they're not calling the airport. So myself, I'm trying to contact the agent, but the agent is saying that he has until a certain amount of time to get to the airport, and that's all that they can do for him. So the time came and he missed his flight. And we are trying to see how we can arrange for him to get out of Barbados because he has to go back to work. And nobody is trying to facilitate us. Anyways, the night of when that flight should have been, he got back the PCR results that they said that they could not find. And we're trying to call the COVID hotline to find out if somebody could help us because Mr. Flight, no fault of his own. And he had to repeat a test twice, no fault of his own. He also got back those results, but we had to pay an additional fee to change that flight date. So my question is, who reimburses us for the extra money that we've spent and the inconvenience that has been caused to us based on what has transpired? We understand the pressure that the lab personnel are under, but I still think that something could have been done to compensate him.
Well, ma'am, that's desirable, but I don't think it's practical in today's world. Notwithstanding the fact that the government has been talking about paying tourists to come back to the country and that sort of thing, if you look at the economic situation of this country, it is clear that we can't pay all this hazard pay. We can't reimburse all these people. You know, we just don't have the resources to do it. Barbados is struggling at the moment. And these realities we have to face. We need to, you know, recognize that this is the hand that we have been dealt. Your husband, in these circumstances, will be lucky to get any reimbursement. All right? The whole question of the airport, I don't understand why you would have preferred to have the people from Best Dos Santos call the airline and tell them that your husband can't make it. Your husband or you or somebody else would have to indicate that to the airline. Look how many other people have been stranded in Barbados. They go to the airport. They don't get the test results. They have to put off their flights back home 2 and 3 times. People have been through that already because, as you well know, let's go back to the cause. The cause is that the testing system has been overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And that once the lab has been overwhelmed with the tests and had all this backlog and all of that, therein lies the problem that confronted you and your husband. What's the best case scenario now? When is he supposed to leave Barbados?
Well, he was able to get a flight yesterday, but Mr. Ellis, my issue is not that I don't understand the lab system is overwhelmed. My issue is the blatant disrespect of the Barbados government to the people of Barbados.
How so?
For goodness sakes, like, we had the prime opportunity to close down the country, even if it was for 2 weeks, in the initial stages and get the situation under control. We chose money over people's well-being. That's what we did.
I understand that particular concern. I hear quite a number of people with it. As a matter of fact, somebody sent something last night saying that, what? Let me see what they said, because I thought that captured the views of others that I have been hearing around here quite a bit. Said that they said here, the majority of Bajans asked for a government who speaks. And now we have one that don't listen. That's what they're saying, you know?
Yeah.
The government is under a lot of pressure right now. And there's no escaping this. The people feel that we should have taken more decisive action earlier. But, you know, the government, finally, they have to take the final decision. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you that from what I understand, the people that you also need to talk to are the private sector interests in Barbados who have been goading the government to go in the direction in which they have gone. They have played a pivotal role in why Barbados is where it is. And I think it was short-sighted because if you look at the number of places that have had to close, business places so far, and based on the current trend, more are likely to do so. One of the questions that I wanted to ask Sahade was this. You remember last year when the government went to the University of the West Indies and asked the people there, the epidemiologists, to do a projection of where Barbados was likely to go if it didn't take decisive steps to stem the tide that we had seen at the time. Mm-hmm. They kept the information from us for a while. Nobody told you what the epidemiologist said. We had to be guessing. And I believe I heard the prime minister say one evening subsequently that the projection was something like 22,000 deaths or something like that. That's my recollection. Well, I would like to know if it would not have been desirable to get the projections of epidemiologists now, even though I am told that one of the reasons why it would be hard to get a proper projection is because of the follow-up with the lab tests, because the accuracy of the information is important in being able to make that kind of projection. But it would be interesting to hear what the projection is based on what has happened in January so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are look, this is not you're for, against, this is about you're looking after the interests of the country. And there are some questions that are there that stare us in the face, no matter whether we like the government, dislike it or not. We are all Bajans together. We all have our families. We all move through this community and stuff like that. And therefore, we should be entitled to ask these questions. This should not be seen as something that is showing opposition to any administration. We are entitled to ask these questions and to get the answers to the questions that we put there so that we can make informed choices. That's what I think is all about.
And I agree 100%. My final contribution is, what is it going to take now for the government to take decisive action as to where we're going to go with the country? Is it going to take for one of their people to get sick? Is it going to take for one of them to die? Is that what we're waiting for?
Only the government can answer that.
Of course, but thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Some people are saying to me that as long as you have people in a shop, as long as shops are open, bars and restaurants are open, you can't expect people to eat and drink with a mask on. So that's why I find it absolutely funny that people from the monitoring unit would go in a bar and rap people on their knuckles for not wearing a mask while drinking a beer. Up to now, I don't know that they have been able to find a mask that will protect you well enough while you are able to eat and drink. So what is the answer to this problem? If you have the bars and the restaurants open, you're going to have a problem. Then contradictory, you're definitely going to have a problem. So you have to make a decision that if this is posing a danger, then you're going to have to shut them. I think that's reasonable. But as long as you say they can be open, people will do what they would normally do in an open bar or an open restaurant. It's eat and drink. Down to Brass Axe.
Hi, good morning. A blessed good morning to you, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning, ma'am.
Yes, hi, morning. I just called to ask one question. I don't mean to digress from the very important issue of COVID-19, because I know that deserves our full attention and energies at this time. But this is a issue that, you know, is of relative importance to me. Now, I just have one question. What is the importance or the role of the Office of Public Counsel?
The Office of Public Counsel?
Yeah.
This wasn't an office that was set up to assist people who had problems with under the Consumer Protection Act?
Yeah, right. Yeah, so that is why I inquired, because I assumed that they were there to offer assistance. But I have an issue where if you go to someone in a environment where they are supposed to assist you and you go for advice, do you have the expectation of them to assist you and not to dismiss you within 2 minutes of a phone call and not really hear or, you know, have an audience for your query?
I can deal with a very general charge such as this. What I can say perhaps I'm not even asking you to get involved in the specifics, but this is what I will say.
Yeah.
Everything depends upon, it is not just their behavior, but it is also the approach of the person who goes to them. So if you don't hear it, you sometimes can be unfair to people because
you may
come to me with presenting it one way, but in the actual conversation, you might have rubbed them the wrong way as well. But having said that, though, I still accept the point that you're making that you took a matter to them and you expected that you would be accommodated in some way to give details on what has happened and to get some kind of guidance. That's what they were set up there to do. Now, that's on the phone. Since they have, in your judgment, treated you this way on the phone, what is your next step?
Well, my next step would be to set up an appointment, but that seems futile. Mr. Ellis, I approach everyone with the same respect and dignity that I afford, you know, all human beings as a person.
Have you written to them?
I have written. I have called several times. And I have written other agencies, but if I call the Office of Public Counsel and I hear the same voice of my opposer who...
The same voice of your opposer? What you said?
I mean, the same reason that, you know, they have declined to accommodate me. You know, when you go to the person that you're alleging the thing against and you hear the same reason, I am just questioning if, you know, what is the role of that then? Because
all right, let me ask you this question. Hold on.
Yeah.
Before you go any further.
Yeah.
How many times have you written to that office?
I would have first called the office on July 24th, around 1:30.
No. How many times have I written? I want you to answer my question. How many times have you written that particular office?
I have written twice. I was told to email because, you know, but I am not sure if the emails were received. I cannot verify that.
You wrote twice. How many times did you call that office?
I called the 24th, and then I called another time in August, and then I called up to last week.
You called three times, public counsel.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
How many other offices have you written and called, other than public counsel?
I called many offices. I called the institution which I dealt with. I wrote them formally. I wrote them about three or four times. I was up there. I went to them at least every single week, probably twice a week for like 6 or 7 weeks on a stretch. I saw legal counsel. I saw the mitigating parties, which would have, you know, transacted, you know, got the go-between. I saw it all legal, you know, all avenues, Mr. Ellis.
What did your lawyer tell you?
The lawyer gave me advice, and I took the advice,
and
it did not. It did not augur well because when I went to the institution and the lawyer himself wrote the institution said that because I went to a lawyer, they are no longer dealing with me because I went to a lawyer. So I had to, you know, and lawyers are not free. So I had to deal directly, not with the institution, but they said they're not dealing with me, I had to deal with their lawyer. So look, it was a very...
Before you go any further now, let me say something.
Yeah.
There are some people who have problems with institutions, government departments, and that sort of thing from time to time.
Yeah, I understand.
And when you listen to the whole story, just listening to the story confuses your head. It seems as though wherever they go, for whatever reason, they are unable to get any resolution of the issue. And it makes you start to wonder, let me finish. It makes you start to wonder. It makes you start to wonder what is really going on here. Is it that the system is so bad, or is it the particular issue or the particular person who is pursuing the issue and how they are dealing with it? I mean, if you tell me that you've had a problem to the point where you have had to get legal advice and you cannot take this to the court system, then what, the courts are there to protect people like you?
Right, that's my point.
Why is it that it can't go there?
Let me say,
you've been to a lawyer and then you go back. You've been to a lawyer and then you're going back to public counsel, but that don't make sense.
Yes, because let me give you. I'm not going to air any grievances because people are not here to defend themselves, and I'm not of that ilk. I have studied law, and you know, I am in education, but you know, there are certain things that procedures that you can't forget when you study certain things. And I know the processes of natural justice, the rule of law, fairness and equitable, and the right to be heard.
So, okay.
Mr. Ellis,
okay. May I ask you this question? Why is it that this has not been taken to court, therefore, in light of all that you know?
Yes, when I took the document to the institution, it was a legal binding document, and I am aware of that. Now, they said, you have signed the sale of agreement. You have done this. You have agreed. Now, I said to them, but you gave me the loan, but you also acted as my legal counsel. So can you
provide me with some representation? I'm not able to pursue this matter any further. I'm a little worried about the fact that something of this nature could be going on for so long. And there has got to be more to this than meets the eye.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I am willing to discuss. But, Mr. Ellis, my point of calling today is not to air my grievances or to, you know, to hold anybody up, you know, to public scrutiny or, you know, even accountability in this public forum. Mm-hmm. I believe that justice will be done by, you know, who holds that major hand, and you know, we cannot deal with him as he deals as other people deal with us, and you know, that is my personal view of life. But Mr. Ellis, my point here is that if we are to put people in place to act as gatekeepers for our society and people turn a blind eye, I sat in major lectures numerous times. And it says that the ombudsman was a toothless bulldog. Mr. Ellis, I would rather a toothless bulldog that will bark and keep noise and attract attention than any bulldog who will close his eyes and pretend to be sleeping and don't watch the gate and let the wolves come in and, you know, blatantly slaughter all the sheep, not to mention the innocent lambs, Mr. Ellis. I am just saying, my point is here.
You gotta go. Hello?
Yeah, I understand, Mr. Ellis. Yeah. Thank you very much.
We're gonna have to go. Thank you very much.